We do have quite a bit to cover this evening. You remember those verses I've been trying for 2 weeks, now 3 for us to read? I have them again, so we'll see whether the time will be favorable to us. So this should be our last lesson in the book of Daniel, and we have a lot to cover. So let's go. We know that Daniel chapters 10 to 12 contain the fourth and last recorded vision of Daniel. And we know that this fourth vision holds a logical connection with the third vision, which is recorded in Daniel chapter 9. So in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel confessed the sins of his people Israel, and he asked God to fulfill God's promise of returning the people to their homeland after 7 years of captivity. And Daniel did not ask, but God took the initiative to reveal to Daniel a plan that he had to eradicate evil altogether and to establish good forever. And as it pertained to Israel, this plan will be completed in 70 times 7 years. So that chapter speaks of the sovereignty of God in view of his people's destiny. That's chapter 9. So as soon as God's plan was revealed, the Lord gave Daniel his fourth vision recorded in chapters 10 to 12. And we have been there since August. And in those chapters, God revealed to Daniel how the devil will do everything possible to thwart God's plan. And the attacks of the devil against God's plan, which is to save the people from sin, those attacks will occur in 3 realms we have seen. They occur in the cosmic realm that we do not see in chapter 10, in the earthly historical realm that we can see in chapter 11 all the way to verse 1 of chapter 12, beginning with verse 2 of chapter 11 all the way to verse 3 of chapter 12. And it also occurred in the heart of God's servant. That's what we've been studying from verses 4 to 13. Now, in chapter 9, Daniel did not ask a detail about God's plan. God took the initiative to give those details. In chapter 12, Daniel asked details, and God took the initiative to refuse to give those details. And according to his wise and holy counsel, he decides when to diverge information and when not. And it doesn't matter whether we stomp the ground or whatever, he is in control. He knows what he's doing. So the devil came so he is good at that. God had a plan when he created man and placed mankind in the garden. The devil is good at coming to say, oh, God is trying to cheat you out of something. And that's what we are seeing, that pressure behind the scene in Daniel. The devil came and somewhat and said, has God really said that what you say that God has really said? God just does not want you to know as much as he does. So go ahead, violate the instructions of God, eat what he told you not to eat, and you will see. You have knowledge of good and evil in an experiential manner. And that's where we are. It was the devil telling someone to break the boundaries. And in Daniel, Daniel is God's best servant. God has put boundaries to what he wished to reveal. And Daniel is knocking persistently, trying to force God to say more, trying to go beyond God's limit, beyond God's imposed boundaries. And when one is trying to do that, this is one of the best strategies for the devil to thwart God's plan in the heart of God's servants. First John chapter 1, verse 9. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. You know that verb that is translated by transgress in my New King James Bible that I have just read for you? It means to go beyond, to pass the boundary, to trespass the boundary, to go ahead of God. God is behind and you are ahead of him. And this is one of the strategies of the devil, even with the best of God's servants, to try to make them push the boundaries, especially when you have knowledge and experience. Knowledge has a way to puff you up, to swell you up. And the gods, and Daniel, thank God, God all throughout pushing back and say, stay in your lane, stay in your lane. So how does it transpire? How do we prevent the devil from pushing us beyond the limit of the gospel, beyond the boundaries of God's word? So the 10 verses in Daniel chapter 12, verses 4 to 13, give us 3 points of guidance when the devil is working in our hearts to push us beyond those boundaries. And those 3 points we've been seeing, the first point of guidance to follow so that we do not go beyond the boundaries of God's word is in chapter 12, verse 4. This is what the angel said to Daniel. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. So we labeled this first point the purpose of preserving God's revelation when we studied it. And here Daniel is asked to preserve this revelation that it may be accessible, not to keep it secret or shut up as in archives, but to keep it, to preserve it so that it might be accessible and available for whenever God wants to use it in earnest. So here we learn 3 lessons in that verse 4. The first lesson is that personal responsibility with God's revelation when we receive it. It says, but you, Daniel. The angel admonishes Daniel to handle God's word with care, with respect, and with integrity. So that's what we do first with God's revelation, so that we might not go beyond the boundaries. The second thing is preservation in time of God's revelation. It says, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. So this shows that the revelation, though given to Daniel, was not intended for Daniel himself. Daniel's role was to preserve that revelation intact for those to whom it would be most pertinent. And those to whom it would be most pertinent would live in the era labeled the last days. And it is an era that spans from the ascension of Christ until the second coming of Christ. We are in that era described as the last days. But according to context, last days may be pointing to either at the beginning of that era or the middle of that era or toward the end of that era. And the context of Daniel chapter 12 put the interest to those living in the last days, but toward the end of that era. And the third lesson that we learned from that verse 4 that points to the purpose of preserving God's revelation is the purpose in searching God's revelation. Not to satisfy curiosity and come up with nifty things. He says, many shall run to and fro, and none shall increase. In that relevant time, called the last days here, those who peruse, those who search in the word, or those who may perhaps travel in order to go somewhere else where they can acquire that language and understanding, they will acquire valuable life-saving understanding. So that's the first lesson that we can learn to keep us from letting the devil push us beyond the boundaries. So that's the purpose of God's revelation. Personal responsibility with it, preservation of it intact, and purpose in searching it. Purpose, spiritual purpose. When we handle God's revelation properly, we can defeat the devil's attempts to distort or to destroy God's plan as that plan pertains to our own heart. And this was most significant to Daniel, who was a primary channel of passing this revelation to the rest of us. Now, here's the second point of guidance to follow so that we do not go beyond the boundaries of the Word of God. Those are in verses 5 to 7. And we studied those. And angel asked a question, and it is answered. We postulated then that the question was asked on behalf of Daniel, though asked by an angel. And here's the segment, verses 5 to 7, we read. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this riverbank and the other on that riverbank. And one said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, but not touching the waters, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Then I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters without touching the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand, and his left hand, two hands to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever, and it shall be for a time, times and half a time, and when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, then all these things shall be finished. So in essence, an angel asked, how long then till the end of these wonders would arrive? And a response was given, and we labeled this study the point of fulfillment, the point in time of the fulfillment of God's revelation to God's revelation. Verse 4, purpose of preserving God's revelation. And verses 5 to 7 gives us the perspective we should nourish regarding the fulfillment of God's revelation. We discovered four lessons for us to learn regarding that point or idea of the fulfillment of God's revelation. The first lesson that we learn is about the participants. Those who attend the discussion regarding the point in time at which the fulfillment of to God's revelation will occur. And we saw that in verses 5 and the first part of verse 6. Daniel was only watching. Two angels, one on each riverbank, one on each side of the riverbank, and there was an angel who is above but not touching the water. This angel may have been Gabriel, as some commentators contend, or he may have been the pre-incarnate appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've discussed that. But regardless, such a gathering of angels shows that the matter was of great significance. So when we are looking at the fulfillment of God's revelation, the first question is, who is asking about it? Who are the ones who are interested in it? Who? Is it someone who is just someone who likes to argue? Or is it someone who is really searching for his own heart? Who is asking? Who is participating in that discussion? That's the first one. And that's a question for you to ask. Who am I? Why am I doing this? And the second part will show again what is the point. He said the interest, raising of the issue regarding the point in time for the fulfillment of God's revelation, the second part of verse 6. The question was, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? The question is, how long? Raising this issue of timing of fulfillment confirms the point that we just made in verse 4. This revelation, though given to Daniel, was not pertinent to Daniel. So when the question is asked, if Daniel missed his role in handling this revelation, role that had been described to him in verse 4, he will indeed fall prey to the devil's attempt to thwart God's plan in his heart. A plan which was for him to preserve the revelation intact and render it accessible and available to those of the last days. So the second lesson to learn about the fulfillment of God's revelation is, what is your interest in it? Curiosity? Or fulfilling the role that God has assigned to you? What is your interest? This is the question that Christ asked the people. When you went to listen to John, what did you go see? What was your interest when you went to listen to John? Was it that you wanted repentance? Or that you wanted to say, oh, who is that weird guy? And I'm going to criticize this. What is your interest? That will help you to go beyond the boundaries. And here's the third one, the significance of what you are studying. The seriousness of the point in time at which God's revelation will be fulfilled. That is in the first part of verse 7. Then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters. And so you see he raised both hands. So you may have an interest for curiosity, but on God's side, you are treading really sacred ground. This matter is of great significance. So when you look at it, you ask, what is your interest? The next question is, what is God's interest in all of this? What is God's intention? How significant and important is this to God? And the fourth thing is the timing that God has set. The timing for the point at which God's revelation will be fulfilled. The second part of verse 7. That it shall be for times. And so we explain this point. But we were not able to read the verses together, so I'm going to attempt for us to do that this evening, because this is our last lesson in Daniel. So let us try to look at this. So the point that we made is that the expression times, and half a time must have raised some key Jewish connections in Daniel's mind. Because look at many instances in which we find the aspect of number 42 or 3.5 or the like in the Jewish awareness. So in Numbers chapter 33, you can look at that and I'll just explain. So the chapter recounts all the marches and the stops that the people of Israel took from their exit from Egypt to their arrival in the plains of Moab. Okay? All the marches and stops. Do you know how many there were? 42. Let's go to someone who has a microphone, will read Luke 4, verse 25, and then person next will read James 5, verse 17. Luke 4, 25 and James 5, 17. And if you feel that you will be next, you'll also look at Daniel 7, 25 for me. Okay? It's on the screen. Luke 4, verse 25 and James 5, 17.
Okay, Luke 4, 25. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the land.
Okay, for how long was the sky shut up? 3.5 years. Let's read James 5:17.
Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years.
Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. Who is next?
He shall speak words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And to think to change the times and the law, and they shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time.
Okay, so we are going to go to Revelation 11:2 while whoever is next is looking for that. So what happened in the country, you look at the history of Israel. Almost every time while you have those kind of trials, especially things of natural disasters and troubles, it seems that the 3.5, the 42 months, the 42 in number, keep popping up. So when you get to this, you'll find in Revelation the confirmation of those things that you see there in Daniel. Revelation chapter 11, verse 2 and 3. The person who is in chapter 11 can read verse 2, 3, 9, and 11.
Was given a reed like a measuring rod and was told, go and measure the temple of God and the altar with its worshippers. But exclude the outer court, do not measure it, but it has been given to the Gentiles. They will trample on the holy city for 42 months.
42 months. And are you in verse 9 and 11 as well?
Go ahead.
Go ahead. She can.
And I will grant authority to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1260 days, clothed in sackcloth.
That's 42 months in a Jewish calendar of 30 months. Chapter 12, verse 14.
Well, I've got 9 and 11, too.
Oh, okay, yes.
Verse 9. Those from the people and tribes and tongues and nations will look at their dead bodies for 3.5 days and will not permit their dead bodies to be laid in a tomb.
2.5 days. 2.5 years. 2.5 days. Verse 11.
But after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God came into them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell upon those who were watching them.
Okay. Someone else, chapter 12, verse 14, please.
But the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman so that she could fly into the wilderness to a place where she was nourished for a time and times and half a time,
time and times
from the presence of the serpent.
Yeah. And chapter 13, verse 15.
And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months.
42 months. You keep finding throughout the history of Israel that 3.5, that 42. And not one of them is something good. It's always trial. So what we are having is that God specifically pointed out the timing would be what was said in Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. You remember all the unprecedented things? Unprecedented suffering, unprecedented persecution. Bad things are happening. And that is like with that 42, 3.5. Now, it's not spiritualizing it, because what we have here is indeed time. The same way that you had those 42 months or 2.5 years of Elijah, they were real time. Okay? Those days are going to be real time. They are not spiritualized. They are real time. But what happened is that when you have that kind of expression, it's always linked to great trials for the people of Israel. And that's exactly the circumstance we had explained here in verses 1 to 3 of chapter 12. So what we have here has to be that. So what is happening here? So yes, can you tell us how long this is going to be and when it's going to happen? What are the markers? What does God respond? Yeah, the usual. It's going to be the usual. It's going to be, you know, people are going to be in trouble, just as I've just told you. And guess what? Then he's going to say, that's not enough. Verse 4, this is your role, Daniel. Angel asks a question pretty much on behalf of Daniel. Answer, yeah, as the usual. Big trials. And guess what happened? Last week we introduced the third part of this passage. So the third point of guidance to follow so that we do not go beyond the boundaries of the Word of God, they are in chapter 8, verses 8 to 13. So first point, verse 4, how to handle God's revelation. Okay, you play the role that God has questions and proposed systems. Yet God will control how much he wishes to share, when, how, and to whom he wishes to share his revelation. We are not going to force him to give us what he plans not to give. God will control the timing and the unfolding of the events culminating to the completion of his plan. The devil cannot change that, and the devil cannot bring you to change it. We will pass in time, but his plan and purpose will unfold flawlessly unto complete and perfect fulfillment. So in these six verses that I have just read, we have four lessons to learn. Two that we studied last week, but we were not paying attention because we had all those kind of disturbances. And two that we'll see tonight to finish the book of Daniel. So we have labeled those six verses this way. We have shared that they are inquiry in verse 8 and tension in verse 9. And implications in verses 10 to 12, and inheritance in verse 13. Those are the key words. And we learned the first two last week, and we hope to finish, and we are going to finish by God's grace, by learning the last two to complete the study in Daniel. So let us review what we studied last week. And then we will pass to the two lessons to learn today. First lesson, inquiry. In verse 8, we learn about the inquiry from the prophet about the control God will exercise unto the fulfillment of his revelation. That's where the question is asked. And you know, as reverent as Daniel was, he still was asking in different words the same question that the angel had asked in verse 6. In fact, it is prelude that he didn't understand, therefore he was going to ask. God had refused to answer in detail. And so shall it be again. Keep your inquiry in check. When the two sons of Zebedee asked to sit one at the right hand and the other at the left of Christ in his kingdom, Mark 10:38 says, Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you ask." You don't know what you are asking. He comes to your mind, you just say, "Hey, I want to be there, it's so fun." You just don't know. Keep your inquiry in check what you are asking. In chapter 9, Daniel did not ask for details. God, according to his wise and holy counsel, volunteered and took the initiative to give details. He was simply asking, "Forgive the sins of my people. I see in Jeremiah, they have to be in captivity 70 years. 70 years have arrived. Please return them." God said, "Guess what? Not only do I have that plan to return them and forgive their sins, I have a plan that's going to cover 77. Daniel didn't ask. God gave it. And now Daniel is asking. God said, "No, no, no." And just gave him some general thing that he already knew. The usual. So God is persistently controlling the details about the fulfillment. See the next verse. The second lesson that we studied last week, intention. There are two parts to the response that Daniel received. That intention is the first one, and in verses 10 to 12 will be the second part. So the first part in this verse 9 we saw last week. The second part is in that part. So in this verse 9, it is clear that it is God's intention to keep the control over the fulfillment of his revelation. And asking many questions is not going to change that. Despite Daniel's inquiry, Daniel will play his present role, which was already stated in verse 4. And that is, we stated in verse 9. After he asked that question for more details. And no more. And God will continue to control history until such a time as he wishes for his revelation to be understood and to be fulfilled. This is what verse 9 says. And he said, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end." You know, how many ways do you want me to spell no to you? Stay in your lane, okay? I stayed with that right at the beginning, verse 4. I gave you nebulous and so when that other angel, you came asking again, I'm repeating it to you. Your role is to preserve that revelation intact so that it might be available and accessible. I'm not going to give you any more details. And even a servant like him, with his experience and things, the devil works behind the line to push people, pastors, deacons, to go beyond the boundaries that God has set. So that's where we stopped last week. And we'll pick up with, pretty good. I'm pretty good with the time. We'll pick up with verse 10 this week. And we will study the remaining two lessons we must learn regarding God's control over the fulfillment of his revelation. So lesson one, we learn inquiry. Keep your inquiry in check. Lesson two, to learn intention. Respect God's intention when he provides his revelation. Do not try to go beyond it. Fulfill what he has revealed. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Okay? I'm a pastor to preach the gospel. All right? I am, in other life, I'm an administrator. But that's not the quality in which I'm here. I'm here to preach and teach the gospel, not to build an enterprise. Okay, it's a moot point whether I know how to administrate or whatever. That's not my calling here. I have to play my role. So now lesson three to learn, implications. The implications of God's control unto the fulfillment of his revelation. When God controls his revelation, what kind of implications or what would come do we expect? So the first part of God's answer to Daniel's inquiry was in verse 9. It was about God's intention. The second part, verses 10 to 12, constitute the second part of God's answer to Daniel's inquiry. It's God's implication. So, if we were to summarize what we have just read in verses 10 to 12 that we have just read earlier, we'll put it this way. The implications of God's control of his revelation to his fulfillment are not about knowing time and seasons, which is almost exclusively what people want to do when they come to that portion of Scripture. It is not about knowing times and seasons, but about purification of many, about hardening of many, about understanding the righteous will gain at the time of fulfillment, about lack of understanding the unrighteous will have, even though everything is being fulfilled before their eyes. It is about a specific calendar of execution that God chooses to reveal in nebulous terms, not in details. God has his reason for controlling the fulfillment of his revelation. At times, he diverges amazing details, as in chapter 11. Do you remember when we're going to chapter 11? So many details that people said, there is no way someone could have written this beforehand. And at other times, he refuses and gives nebulous terms that are often understood clearly and only at the moment they are being fulfilled. We have an example of that when Jesus was cleansing the temple. It was only as Jesus was doing it that the disciples understood the specific application of the Old Testament declaration in Psalm 69, verse 9. John was an eyewitness reporting this in John chapter 2, verse 17. Guess what John wrote? He said, then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. And that psalm was repeated so many times. It was part of the liturgical life and worship of people of Israel. But it was when Christ was fulfilling it that, oh, that's what it's about. Then they remembered. I got it. We do not have to force ourselves to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Acts chapter 1, verse 7. So what has God said in these verses, verses 10 to 12, and what is knowable from them? There are three implications from those verses, one in each one of the verses. Here's the first implication. Regardless how much detail we know, faith will still be the key determining factor. Verse 10, many shall be purified, made white and refined, and the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. You know, at that time, just as it was for the time of Daniel, just as it is for our time, just as it will ever be thereafter, until the problem of sin is completely eradicated, believers will be purified. Unbelievers will act wickedly. Believers will catch the spiritual significance of God's word. Unbelievers will be in darkness. They will not understand. And that will not change even if, to use the words of Lazarus, even of Abraham to Lazarus, even if someone were to be raised from the dead, they still will not believe. Faith will still remain the factor. Even if scripture were to be fulfilled in front of their own eyes, even if someone were to return in person, like Jesus will return at the second coming, the principle of faith will remain the determining factor between the just and the wicked. This is what God is inserting to someone who is asking him for time and season. Second applications, that is in verse 11. The control of times and seasons will be fully in God's hand and no other. This is what we read. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination that is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. That's what I have determined. What does it mean? We know of 1,260 days, but not of 1,290 days. Dispensationalists are baffled by this number. They can only speculate on the variance between 1260 and 1290. They guess here, they guess there. They believe that 1260 is contained in 1290, but nobody can explain what it is. They say, oh, maybe there is a prelude of 30 days before the 1260 begins. Maybe. What about this explanation that when God decides not to clarify the details, then it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority? That's what we have here. And Daniel is looking at it and said, it still doesn't make sense. Well, I don't intend for you to understand. That's the point. Here's the third implication. That is in verse 12. Perseverance in faith will ultimately end in blessing. This is what he said. Blessed is he who waits and comes. So what we have here, we have 1,335 days. That's an addition of 45 days. That's 45 days in addition to the 1,290. 75 days in addition to the 1,260. But We can ascertain the 1260. We see it in the book of Revelation. We see all over. That's why we read those scriptures for you. We can ascertain that. But we can neither ascertain 1290 nor 1235. Some say that the 30 days are prelude time to the 1260 and the 45 additional days are postlude. Perhaps. But there is nowhere in Scripture, nothing in the New Testament that is going to tell you this is what it is. The second, so you would then, if you think it is that, we still have problems. Let's say that is true. Let's say that 45 days after the 1260. So you are saying that chapter 12 said the end of all the suffering is the return of Christ. Return of Christ at the end of 1260 days. And you mean that things have not changed for a month and a half? That powerful, powerful Christ who came to change things is still battling 45 days. I mean, don't we say it's sudden? At the sound of a trumpet? Just about that. And then now we say, oh, well, you know, that trumpet is going to be sounding nonstop for 45 days. So you look at this is, if you preserve till the end, what we are learning here is that on one point which is not in doubt here. If you persevere till the end, you will be blessed. Keep on keeping on, whatever you are going on through. People who don't quit, they see the goodness and the power and the blessing of God. I mean, whatever you are going through, keep going. That is for sure. It always works. So the first lesson to keep in mind regarding God's control over the fulfillment of his revelation is to keep our inquiry in check, verse 8. The second lesson to learn as implications, verse 9, is to respect God's intention. The third lesson to learn regarding God's control over the fulfillment of God's revelation is in verses 10 to 12. We just explained, trust in the God-given implications of faith. Just keep faith going, whether you understand or not, whether you can make sense of it. Keep going. Be the energizer, buddy. Keep going. Don't stop. And now we come to the fourth and last. The inheritance reserved for the saint under God's control until the fulfillment of his revelation, verse 13. That's all it is about. I mean, I can skip everything. Let me dwell there. But you go to your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. That's all that matters. God assures his servants in verse 13 of the inheritance reserved for him as God controls the fulfillment of his revelation. The final admonition to Daniel, if followed by any believer, that will assure that the devil does not thwart God's plan in the heart of God's servant. And there are four things that he said there, and we'll say that very quickly. One, faithfulness in your lane, doing the time of your pilgrimage, that's what you should be concerned about. But you go your way till the end. God calls you to be a pastor until the end. Day in, day out, study, pray, visit, whether people come or don't come. Be constant in season and out of season. God calls you to be a deacon, be a deacon. God calls you to be a singer, be a singer. God calls you to be a wife, be a wife. Fulfill your pilgrimage. Whether you understand or not. Second point in regard to the inheritance, anticipation of departure from this earth. For you shall rest. It is appointed unto men once to die. Do know that your days are counted. It may be today, it may be tonight, it may be tomorrow, it may be 10 years from now. Every single one of us will depart from this earth one way or another, and we'll have to give account for the lives we live here, for the pilgrimage that God has asked us. Three, resurrection unto bliss or judgment. He says, you die, you will rise. When someone says, there is nothing after death, I'm telling you, it doesn't depend upon you. You can burn your body however you want. You can do whatever you want. There will be a resurrection of the just and a resurrection of the unjust. It will happen. Every single human being will be reconstituted. Everyone. And if you are righteous, it will be unto bliss. If you are unrighteous, it will be unto eternal judgment. Fourth, the blessedness of God's promise. He says, inheritance at the end of the days. Glory. God has promised us to be with Jesus. God has promised us to be like Jesus. God has promised us to have as Jesus. We are co-heir with God. That's what we are going to be transformed. We are going to be with Jesus eternally, those of us who have faith. We are going to be like Jesus. We'll be transformed into his image, perfect image. We are going to have as Jesus has. We will inherit with him. We are co-heir with him. Isn't that marvelous? Whoever has that hope in him purifies himself or herself as he, Jesus, is pure. That's what we should be concerned about. Whoever has that hope does what number one tells us. Faithfulness in your lane during the time of your pilgrimage. You take that verse and apply it. Be faithful in the time of your pilgrimage. Anticipate that you have to die. And know that you'll be resurrected unto judgment or unto bliss. And know that God has promised to you, you will be like Jesus, you will be with Jesus, and you will have as Jesus. When you have that as your hope, what do? You purify yourself just as he himself was pure. You conduct yourself right during the time of your pilgrimage. Perhaps the best way to end this study is with some of the words that began what might be our next study. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that we're able to do that with you and finished the study. What a fabulous book. And we hope that instead of just piquing the curiosity of people that this book indeed, the study, had been uplifting for people unto righteousness. To go our way, stay in our lane, with the sense of a departure determined by God, and that we would be resurrected. Death is not an end, it's a passage. And for us who have hope in Jesus, we know that one day we will see him as he sees us. We will just be like him. We will be eternally with him. And glory, we will just have the same that he has. We'll be co-heir with him and heir of the Heavenly Father. What a fabulous hope. And those of us who do have that hope, let us indeed walk worthily during the time of our pilgrimage. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.